today I'm going to be doing something a little bit different, and I'm going to be taking you and giving you a glimpse of what I'm doing every day, day in and day out. Now, I'm going to be talking about some of the things that my clients and students have been finding really difficult recently, some little common mistakes, some words that have come up a few times, and I want to share this stuff with you. These are Spanish speakers just like you, professionals just like you. In fact, I've just finished a class with a professor, a professional in banking, somebody who works in real estate, and somebody who works in advertising. So I'm working with people like you, professionals. Maybe you are even part of one of those professions, day in and day out. Day in, day out just means every day. And I'm going to share some of these things that have been difficult for them, because I think they might be difficult for you too. So let's see if we can expose maybe some mistakes that you've been making that you haven't even realized, okay? Because it has happened to me before that I've been making a mistake in Spanish and I didn't even realize until somebody told me. So that's what we're going to be having a look at today. But before we go anywhere, as per usual, some nice samba music, please. English podcast. My name is Anna, no surprises, and I'm a business English coach. I'm originally from the UK, but now I'm based in Madrid, and I am an expert teaching English to Spanish speakers. After teaching hundreds of professionals just like you, this podcast is your weekly session with me, where I share with you my exclusive business English tips, guidance, and advice that you can put into practice the minute you finish listening to the episode. That's what I'm really into, practical things that you can actually use in real life, that you can go into your office tomorrow or go onto Zoom tomorrow or Teams or whatever, and you can actually use the things that I'm talking about in the podcast. That's really important for me. If you want to put a face to the name, you want to see what I look like, essentially, you can find me on Instagram at Anna2EndsEnglish. And if you'd like to hear more of me, you can also find me as a co-host on the Coolips Everyday English Chatterbox podcast, where I talk about loads of different topics, not business English, so it's something a little bit different, with my lovely co-host Andrew. So make sure that you check that out. Now, as always, before I get started, I'm going to give a bit of a shout out to somebody who left a lovely review on Apple Podcast, Seth50. You said, "I really appreciate your teaching. Hi, Anna. Thank you for your podcast. It is really helpful for my career. I like your voice, tone, and accent as well, and especially when you teach us a word, phrase, or verb, or sentence that nobody uses, but everybody should." Okay, I've got another one of those coming up today. "I use it in my work or conversation directly. It's very useful and helpful to me. Please keep making this podcast move forward. Keep doing more." Thank you so much. It's a wonderful comment. And the most important part that I'm going to take out of that is I use it at work directly. Like, that's the best thing. As I said before, I want you to take the things that you hear on this podcast and actually use them in real life. And it's about being brave as well, because we can hear new words and we can learn new words, but ultimately it comes down to you. If you want to add them into your vocabulary, you've got to use them. So you've got to be brave and just try it out. See what happens. Start small, work your way upwards. If you don't feel very confident at the beginning using something that I've talked about in the podcast, then maybe try it in the future. But try and practice at least one thing that you hear on each of my podcasts, if you can. Okay, I know that you might not have access maybe to practice English at work, but I know that from what other people have told me that the chances are that you do, because I know that a lot of people that tune into the podcast are professionals like you and have the opportunity to speak English like you. So if you can, then perfect. Practice, be brave. But one thing I want to just bring up, because I had a conversation with one of my students today just before we get started, is they said, you know, well, I'm learning new words, but I can't use them. I'm not really at the stage where I'm using them yet. And I was like, well, okay, fair point, because there's only so many words that we can absorb. And just because you've seen a word once doesn't mean that you're then going to be able to use it in context correctly. But also don't discount the fact that maybe you don't learn the word or learn the vocabulary to use it, but you would understand it. And that's half the job done. Half the job is understanding what the hell people are saying. Arguably much more important. If you don't understand what anybody's saying, you've got no idea how to respond. So don't get caught up if you think, and caught up is kind of like, don't overthink, don't kind of worry about it. If you feel like I'm not using all of the words, or I'm not using as many words as I would like, I'd like to use a lot of different words or pieces of vocabulary, because half the job is being able to understand it, not only being able to use it. So I just wanted to say that before we got started. That's hot off the press. I had that conversation today, so I think that's useful to share that as well. Now, coming back to the original point, we're going to have a look at some of the things that people have been finding difficult. And as I said, this is really important because you're probably finding them difficult as well. Now, there may be a moment in the next 15 or so minutes where you're like, oops, I've been making that mistake and I didn't even realize, or, oh, I thought it was the other thing. Don't worry, that happens all the time. I remember I was saying in Spanish, aljador. Oh God, that was a horrendous British accent in Spanish. Anyway, I was saying that wrong for like 2 years. Nobody told me until somebody did, obviously. It's not a big mistake, to be honest, but you know, it's not correct. So get ready to have your bubble burst, okay? Because I may be sharing some common mistakes that you probably make right now. Maybe you've made them in the past, and maybe you'll make them in the future. So just let go of the fact that sometimes we make mistakes, okay, as much as you can. It's very important, the attitude about how you approach mistakes. Some people are very open to being corrected and they're like, yeah, great, no worries. I know I'm not perfect or whatever. Some people get very, kind of, they don't like it when they're being corrected. And I get it. But expect mistakes, embrace them, be open to being corrected, be open to finding out that, ooh, I've been saying it the wrong way. Because now, if you know that you say it the wrong way, now you can say it the right way. I'm also not trying to be annoying and kind of be on this pedestal and be like, I know everything about English and you're making all these mistakes. Because I think sometimes it comes across like that when we talk about common mistakes. It's like, oh, I'm this kind of English, you know, whatever, and you're making all these mistakes. It's not like that at all. What I'm trying to do is share these things to help you get better, okay? I make mistakes in English, all right? Okay, not very many, of course, but I do make mistakes and, you know, whatever. So I'm not trying to preach. I'm trying to help you improve. So I just want you to understand where I'm coming from as well. Because some people kind of feel like that, I think. They're like, it just feels like we're always making mistakes, or you're always telling me that this is wrong. But you know, that's kind of the nature of it, isn't it? You know, you've got to kind of talk about the things that you need to get better at. And with languages, normally there are lots of things to get better at, but also lots of things that you do well too. So let's rattle through this list. I'm going to go through some of them quite quickly and then spend a bit more time on some of them, because some of them don't need a very long explanation. Some of them I can just say in a couple of lines. So the first one I'm going to talk about is email versus mail. Classic one, but you have to remember that in English we say email, which is correo electrónico, and then mail, which is like the mail that you get in the post, correos, like letters and things like this. And we do distinguish between the two. So if you say send me a mail, I'm like, it should be send me an email. Okay, it's a little bit picky, I know. Again, I would understand you if you said mail, or would I? Maybe if I knew, or if I knew Spanish, I might understand the mistake that you were making a little bit more. But maybe if I didn't speak Spanish, I might be a little bit confused. Or if I hadn't worked with Spanish speakers before, I might be a little bit confused there. So email, electronic communication, mail, everything else. In the majority of cases, you're probably going to be using email, to be honest, rather than mail. Next, hear this one a lot, and it's actually very current, because we're talking a lot about, in the class today actually, I was talking about, you know, how prices are skyrocketing, how demand is outstripping supply. This is something that comes up a lot. People say something like this. They want to talk about a product that's very popular, or something that's very in demand, or where there is a lot of demand for something, But rather than saying that, they say something like, "Wow, this product is really demanding right now." And I'm like, "Well, no, it's not actually, because demanding is exigente." So that's confusing for me. If you say this product is demanding, I'm like, "Oh, okay." Because I'm thinking, well, my boss is demanding and my job is demanding, but the product, So the correct way to say that is to be in demand. Something's really in demand right now, or there is a lot of demand for something. So just be a little bit careful with that one, because it does prop up every now and again, especially in a business context. Another little mistake that people make with that one is to be demanded. This product is very demanded. This product is very in demand, or there is a lot of demand for this product, or it's very popular, or it's very trendy, very on trend. I mean, there's other ways that you can say it. Also, be careful with la oferta. This came up today as well. These things, this is what I mean. They're important because they come up a lot. Not only if you have a job that works with this type of things, but this type of thing comes up a lot in kind of small talk. When we're talking about the economy, for example, if that's one of your go-to topics, la oferta in English is supply, not offer. Might be a bit confusing if people weren't familiar with that vocabulary that Spanish people would use, might be a bit tricky. So la oferta is supply and demand. Okay, next one. Again, this comes up a lot. There's a quick fix for this one. A lot of people say, "It's very curious, isn't it? It's very curious." And the problem here is that in Spanish, you say curioso for both. You say, "I'm curious," and you say, "It's curious." Whereas in English, it's much better to say, "I'm curious and it's interesting." Now, I'm not saying that every single time you need to say, "I'm curious." It's actually a little bit less common to use it in English than it is in Spanish. But the little trick here is to think, "I'm curious, it's interesting." The one that sounds out of place is if you say, "It's curious." It's not very natural in English. So, quick fix: "I'm curious, it's interesting." Next. Oh, this is one that I picked up. This is kind of a pick and mix list. I've kind of put these all together. Some of them are common mistakes. Some of these are things people didn't understand. I've been making a list over the past couple of days, or a week or so, to talk to you about. So the next one: nobody understood me when I said this sentence. And I thought, well, I'm going to talk about it, because if they don't know it, then the likelihood that other people don't know it is very high. To give somebody a heads up. What does it mean if I say, "I'll give you a heads up tomorrow," or "Thanks for the heads up. Can you give me a heads up later?" What am I saying? What am I asking you to do? Now, this is difficult to understand, but it's also quite difficult to say in the moment. Okay, so I've had some kind of variations like "heads me up" or "give heads," or which is dangerous territory, okay? All right, you need to be careful with that one, if you catch my drift. So to give somebody the heads up is to avisar, dar un aviso, te hago saber. Okay, to give somebody a heads up is to let them know about something. That's better. That's a better match. "I'll give you a heads up tomorrow." So the phrase there with the noun is to give somebody a heads up. You can also say "thanks for the heads up," which means "thanks for letting me know." So that's what it means. Very, very common when we're talking about communication and interactions at work. "I'll give you the heads up. Thanks for the heads up. Can you give me a heads up?" What I'm asking you to do is say, "Can you let me know?" Obviously, the answer is yes or no. Probably the answer would be yes. Next one. This is a bit of a tricky one. I'm going to spend a couple of minutes on this. So this verb comes up, this verb in Spanish, engañar. It comes up every now and again, and it's a little bit tricky because there's loads of ways that we can translate this, actually, depending on the context. But every time that it comes up, I've never had somebody use it in the correct way, or very few people. So a lot of people, I'm going to give you an example, okay, because this is the best way to illustrate it. let's imagine taxis. Okay, we're talking today about the sharing economy. I've been talking with some of my clients about that this week. And one of the reasons why people prefer some other companies rather than taking taxis is because they feel like sometimes with taxis, they try and rip you off a little bit, okay? Or maybe some people feel like taxis try and trick you. But one thing my student said was they were like, well, I feel like they are cheating me or they cheat me. And I'm like, yeah, okay, no. We don't use cheat, even though I know that that's the most commonly kind of associated translation of engañar. So let me run through some options here. So to trick somebody is to kind of a little bit more playful, hacer una trampa, something like this. So taxi drivers can try and trick you, okay? I know that I've got in some taxis, not necessarily here in Madrid, but, you know, they see that I'm a foreigner and they're like, I'm going to take the long route. By the way, just a disclaimer, I'm not saying this about all taxi drivers at all. So they might try and trick you a little bit. Some people think they try and rip you off. To rip somebody off is timar. Again, not cheat. When would you use cheat? Well, we use that when we're talking about two types of situations specifically. You can cheat on somebody, which is when you are unfaithful in a romantic relationship. In Spanish, you say poner los cuernos, which I think is just an amazing way of expressing it, like to stick the horns in, you know, somebody's back, basically. I think I said that right, but maybe the translation wasn't exactly correct. So you can cheat on somebody. You can also cheat on a test, for example, or an exam. And that's kind of it. Cheat on somebody, cheat on a test, cheat on an exam. Now, a couple of verbs or translations of engañar, which are less well known, are, for example, to deceive somebody. To deceive somebody is a pretty strong way. That's when you really are going out of your way to lie to somebody, to deceive them, to try and take advantage of them. Another common one, and I remember reading this one when I was reading an article about a very famous controversial case in Silicon Valley to do with a health product. I'm not going to talk about it directly, but you might catch my drift. You might understand what I'm talking about. And the verb was to mislead. So this article was talking about how this person misled a lot of people to believe that this product was the way that it was. Up for debate, okay, allegedly. But that one was there. Mislead, deceive. So engañar is not always cheat. That's probably what I'm trying to say. It depends on the context. It depends what we're trying to say. And I've given you a couple of examples there. Now I'm just going to do one more, and don't worry, if you like this episode, I'm happy to do another one in the future. If you like this style, a couple of quick roundup of some different things. I'm going to do one more, which is a lo largo. This is tricky because we've got two translations here, which is throughout and along. Now here's the common thing that my students will say. They'll say something like, along the last few years, when it should be throughout the last few years. So along, I want you to think about it like this. This is a little trick. Along the river throughout history. Along the river throughout history. Okay, so along the river, we're talking about the length, often a physical thing. And throughout history, we're talking about a time period. It's not a black and white, but that's a guideline. Throughout history, along the river. Now, throughout can also mean por todo, like they have branches or they have offices throughout Spain. So it can also mean that as well. It is used in some other contexts, but that can help you avoid that little mistake that people make. Anyway, I'm going to have to move on because I need to do the word, phrase, or structure that hardly anybody uses, but everybody should. Now, the one that I would like to talk about today is as per usual. Okay, this is como siempre. And I say this one a lot, but I never hear anybody say it. And actually, at the beginning of the podcast, I said it. I said, as per usual, samba, music, please. So we can use this when we want to say as per normal or as per usual. I can't really say it in another way. As per usual, here are the notes from the session, for example. As per usual, please send in agenda suggestions by Friday. As per usual, here are the minutes from the meeting, for example. Also, another way that we use this, just to cover it, is like in a sarcastic way. So maybe we'll say something like, well, you know, Jane was late as per usual, or I'm in trouble at work as per usual. Like, I feel like I always seem to be in trouble. Or maybe you're complaining about one of your colleagues that never meets deadlines and you're like, whoa, he didn't even meet the deadline as per usual. So we can use it in a kind of sarky. Sarky is just another way to say sarcastic, a little dig. Dig is a criticism at somebody as well. So as per usual is my word or phrase that hardly anybody uses, but everybody should. So I definitely recommend that you try and be brave and put that into your vocabulary, whether it's spoken, whether it's written, this week or as soon as you possibly can. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you liked that episode. If you did, please let me know. Write to me. Give me a DM on Instagram. Let me know if you enjoyed that episode, and I'm happy to do another one in the future. If you would like even more of my business English content related to the podcast, then sign up to my newsletter. I send monthly bonus PDFs, which is basically a PDF which has loads of information on it related to the episode. The last one I sent out was about two episodes ago, about telephones. And I sent out lots of different phrases in the PDF. So it's a practical guide to help you. So if you want to get your hands on that, then make sure you sign up to my newsletter. It's the only way to get it. It's only for newsletter subscribers. And you'll also be the first people to know about my courses and programs that are going to be coming up in 2022. Very exciting. And you can find me on Instagram at Anna2EndsEnglish. Thank you again. It's been great. I've really enjoyed that episode and sharing those things with you. And I'll see you again very, very soon. Have a great day. Bye.